Good evening. The biggest mistake we'll ever make is to never trust in God or to begin doubting God. The Old Testament is full of examples of those who at one time had faith in the Lord, but during a time of trial or testing, when they should have trusted in God to deliver them, they doubted God. The consequences of their doubt was tragic. The Apostle Paul reminds Christians that we can learn from the examples of the Old Testament. We can learn both good and bad from good and bad examples. The heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, including Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David and many others, they retained a strong faith in God and obeyed Him no matter what trial they faced. And the Lord delivered them. The bad examples are those who once trusted God, but then, in a time of trial, doubted Him and disobeyed Him and suffered tragic consequences. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10:11, "Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come." In Luke 17, Jesus recounts two examples from the ancient world about the destruction of the wicked. One was the great flood at the time of Noah, and the other was the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah at the time of Lot. This evening, I'd like for us to consider the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. This includes an example of someone who made a terrible mistake, Lot's wife. On her way of escape out of the city, she began trusting in God, but then she doubted and disobeyed His command. It's a negative example, but I think we can also learn some positive things. Jesus gives us the admonition in Luke 17:32, "Remember Lot's wife." This could be the title of our lesson, "Remember Lot's wife." We'll be reading some verses from Genesis chapter 18 and chapter 19, if you want to turn there now in your Bible. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. "The men of Sodom were practicing homosexuality, a very grave sin in the eyes of God. In Genesis 18:20, "Then the Lord said, 'The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and her sin is very grave.'" The Apostle Paul warns us in 1 Corinthians 6:9 that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, And he goes on to list other sins that will keep us out of heaven. Paul makes it clear, not just the practice of homosexuality will keep us out of heaven, but any sexual immorality. God, in his infinite wisdom, has created the institution of marriage, which allows men and women to fulfill their sexual desires. Marriage is the only place God authorizes for sexual fulfillment, and nowhere else. Of course, any sin that we do not repent of, whatever the nature of it, will keep us out of heaven. Let's read the account from Genesis 19 about the escape of Lot and two of his daughters. Genesis 19, we'll begin there at verse 15 and read down to verse 26. Genesis 19, beginning verse 15. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. And as they brought them out, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away." And Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords. Behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot escape to the hills, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Behold, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Let me escape there." Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved. Verse 21. He said to him, "Behold, I grant you this favor also, that I will not overflow the city of which you have spoken. Escape there quickly, for I can do nothing till you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the city is called Zoar. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah as an example for later generations. His point has been made for all time. We must repent or perish. Another great lesson for us is that the righteous by faith who follow the Lord and obey his commandments will be saved. Sodom and Gomorrah are mentioned 9 times in the New Testament. We'll look at one of these citations as well as some other passages from the New Testament and the Old. Let's take a look at 2 Peter 2, 6 through 10. 2 Peter 2, 6 through 10. If by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. If he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, For as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over the lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority. As our Creator, God determines what is right and what is wrong for man. God has a standard of justice, His Word. God has spoken from the beginning of creation to man and revealed what His will is for man. God spoke directly to Adam and Eve, the patriarchs, and to the prophets. The law of Moses was given to the Israelites, and the New Testament for us today, all mankind. God's standard of justice is perfect. We read from Psalm 19 for our scripture reading. Let's take another look at that, about the Word of God. Psalm 19, 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Today we're under the new covenant. James calls it the perfect law of liberty. Not to continue in sin as many today advocate, but liberty by obedience to Christ to be set free from sin. That's not to say that Christians live lives of sinless perfection after they were converted. We stumble from time to time. We fall short of the glory of God. If we sin, we cannot have fellowship with God. 1 John 6 and 7. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice His truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. A Christian must repent of sin and pray to God for forgiveness in order to be restored to fellowship with God. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today, as I've said, we're under the new covenant. Hebrews 1:1-2 says, long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. In John 12:48, Jesus says, "The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word I have spoken will judge him on the last day." God is righteous and holy, and he commands man to be holy. According to the Vine's Expository Dictionary, the term righteousness means the character or quality of being right or just. God has set the standard of what is right or just in his word. Vine's defines holy or holiness as being separated from sin and therefore consecrated to God, sacred. 1 Peter 1:15-16. "But he who called you is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct." Verse 16. "Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." Verse 16, "You shall be holy, for I am holy," repeats a commandment from the Old Testament, a quotation from Leviticus 11:44. The Word of God gives us the moral principles we are to adopt and to live by. Many today say that since salvation is by God's grace, it doesn't matter what we do or how we act. God will still save us regardless, even if we continue in sin. That attitude is a perversion of the grace of God. Titus 2:11-12. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-control, upright, and godly lives in the present age." The Apostle Paul also addresses the matter of grace in Romans 6:1-5. "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Clearly, God does care how we act. Sin is grievous to a righteous and holy God. Again, looking at Genesis 18:20, the conduct of the men of Sodom and Gomorrah before God, their sin is very grave. It was so grave to God that he destroyed them with fire and sulfur to set an example for all time. Another attribute of God is truth. Hebrews 6:18 says, "It is impossible for God to lie." God is truth, and his word is true. In John 17:17, Jesus says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Whatever God says he will do, that is what he will do. Numbers 23:19. "God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Once God determined that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, their destruction was assured. Always for the unrighteous, unless they repent, destruction awaits them. Jesus tells us in Luke 13:13, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish." Next, let's consider the mercy and care of the Lord for the righteous. Lot was not without sin, but as we read in 2 Peter 2, he was a righteous man and sought to do the will of the Lord. The Lord warned Lot and made a way of escape for him and those of his family who were willing to follow him out of the city. We see in Lot the good influence of the life of a righteous man on others. Two of his daughters followed Lot out of Sodom and arrived safely to Zoar. Today, we live in a very evil world. Living a righteous life in such a world is not easy. We will be tested, and we will be persecuted if we live a righteous life. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." During our trials and temptations, if we look to the Lord with faith for deliverance, he will provide a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." We have to depend on the Lord for strength and deliverance. Psalm 9:9-10. "The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." Paul says in Philippians 4:31, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Next, let us consider how important obedience is in order to receive God's mercy and deliverance. We must obey him. James 1:25 says, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Only the ones in Lot's family who trusted God and obeyed his commands were saved. There's no indication that Lot's sons-in-law were involved in the practice of homosexuality, but they and some of Lot's daughters would not be saved because they did not obey the command of the Lord to flee the city, although Lot warned them to flee. according to Genesis 19:14. Ultimately, it's up to each of us individually to decide whether or not we will obey the Lord. We do not have the option of ignoring the Lord's commands. We either deliberately seek the Lord and serve Him faithfully, or by default, we serve Satan, in which case we will be lost. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. The book of Hebrews is about the absolute supremacy of Jesus Christ in the new covenant over Moses and the old covenant. Jesus is the one we must listen to and obey if we desire to inherit eternal life. Hebrews 5:7-9. In the days of His flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverence. Although He was a son, He learned obedience through what He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Lot warned the men of Sodom of their wickedness. The angels of the Lord lodged with Lot for the night before they destroyed the city the next morning. In Genesis 19, let's take a few verses there. Genesis 19:4-7. Genesis 19, starting with verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, men of Sodom, both young and old, and all the people, to the last man, surrounded the house, and they called to Lot. Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them. The men of Sodom were intent in satisfying their illicit carnal desires with those lodging with Lot. Verse 6, Lot went out to the men at the entrance, shut the door after him, and said, I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. But they were so hardened in their sin that they would not listen to Lot. In verse 9 of Genesis 19, they were indignant at Lot for being a righteous man and pointing out their sin. In verse 9, the last sentence, this fellow came to sojourn, and he has become the judge. They were not repentant in the least. Thus the Lord, the righteous judge, would destroy them all. Let's consider Lot's wife. Lot's wife had sufficient faith in the Lord that she followed Lot when he left the city. She had sufficient faith that she left behind some of her family members, some of her daughters. She began her escape from the city safely with the Lord. But then she doubted. Although she did not physically return to the city, in her heart, she returned to the evil city the Lord said she must leave behind. She doubted the Lord and disobeyed his command and looked back. She was turned into a pillar of salt. Jesus says in Luke 9:62, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Lot's wife turned away from the security that is in the Lord by faith and turned back to the world. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 14:23, "For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin." The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 10:39 expresses his hope and confidence that the Hebrew Christians would preserve their souls by holding on to their faith in the Lord despite persecution. Hebrews 10:39. "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." Hebrews 2:1-3. "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation?" Jesus says in Revelation 2:10, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." To inherit eternal life, we must remain faithful to the Lord through our trials in life to the very end. We cannot turn away from the Lord and go back to the world as Lot's wife did and be saved. This evening, if you've never obeyed the gospel, you have opportunity this evening to become a Christian. If you're willing to repent of your sins and confess that Jesus is the Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins, you can begin a new life. And if you are faithful unto death, you will receive that crown of life. If you're subject to an invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?